Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you. I was thought I was coming to minister, and then I got ministered to. So thank you all for praying for me. And I've really enjoyed being here in your country. And I told my wife, you know, Australia, you know, before I got here, it was Italy. It was all things Italy. It's our favorite country. But now, Australia is right there, and I can't say. I mean, for me, it's, but I got to bring her back, you know, and let her. So usually what happens is the second time you come back, then your family. But I feel like family the first time. So I really appreciate that. And now I've got two rules that I require. Number one, if I say anything that resembles a joke, you laugh. Even if it's a courtesy laugh. And then number two, you say amen.
Amen.
Because I like a little feedback, because saying amen, you know, to a preacher is like saying, go get them to the dog, you know. Get them. So I want to, before I get into the word, There's just to give you a little background, I grew up in southern United States, and there's Texas, which everybody's kind of familiar with Texas, and then there's Louisiana that sits next to Texas. So I went from there to Tennessee, where I met my wife in college, went to a Christian university called Lee University, and I played basketball there, won a national championship in 1994, so I don't know if that ages me or not, but... No, that was just a, you know. And then we moved, Nikki and I lived for 3 years before we moved to Michigan to be a part of her dad's ministry. And so we lived there for 19 years almost. And then about 3 years before, the Lord just started stirring our hearts for something. And I just knew that there was something coming, a change. And so, you know, we would check our hearts, because you got to make sure that you're being thankful for where you're at and content for where you're at, and that you're giving God everything, you know, where you are. And it came, long story short, is we showed up in Texas on the doorstep of Jerry Savelle Ministries, not having had a conversation with him. And so when we met with him, there was a place for us there. And so... I went on a couple of trips with Dr. Savelle, and then the world shut down, and now we're here, and it's opened back up, and I'm praying that we say the pedal to the metal, full gas, full throttle, and we're going to the world in late January. We'll be going to Africa, and then in March, we'll be going on a UK tour. And then in May, I would like to announce that we will be back here in Australia. I brought some pictures, a picture of my family, Nikki and Drew, if they have that back there. You can see them. That's the three of us. That's not our Christmas tree. Boy, that would be a big Christmas tree. That's at a hotel. Drew's 22, and he's taller than me, 6'5". He lets me know it. And then I got a picture of me with Dr. Savelle, and we have bought the same sport coat. I'm the one on the left. I don't know if you could tell us apart. He said, we're twins, and he said, you're Danny DeVito, and I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, and then the next picture... that's us traveling. That's the Falcon 50 that just was acquired during the pandemic. Wow. And that will take us anywhere in the world. And so when we come back in May, we'll be coming back on the Falcon 50.
Yeah.
So, you know, I when I first started traveling with him, I would look out the window, because he would sit. He's always sitting on the same side. So if you're facing the front, he's on the right. And so I'd look out the window so he couldn't see me, you know, crying, because I just couldn't believe I was with one of my heroes. If you'd asked me 20 years ago, anybody you'd like to have lunch with, anybody in the world, And somebody asked me that one time, and I thought through it. I thought, And I said, Jerry Savelle. So he's always been one of my heroes. And I walked with him through his resources, you know, through his books, through his, at that time, tapes, VCR tapes even. So you can walk with somebody through their resources and get to, you feel like you know them. And then when they come, hey, what about this? You're asking about their family because they've told their stories and you connected, you know, and you feel like you know them. So, but to end up, you know, traveling the world with him, and it's the things behind the scenes that, you know, the conversations and there is a scripture that says, walk with a wise man and you will be wise. And Dr. Savelle said that's increased by association. And so if you can't walk with someone physically, well, then you can grab the resources and get to know them and walk with them that way. But also, if you can be around them, it gets on you. Amen. It's just a different way of thinking. There's just another level. So are you ready for the word today?
Amen.
All right. I want to begin today with a prophetic word from the Lord to Dr. Savelle earlier this year. And it says this, 2022 will continue to be challenging, but much better than the previous 2 years. How many of you have already experienced that? There will be strong opposition from two distinct forces, light and darkness. Satan will do all that he can to lull God's people into a spiritual slumber. Let me repeat that. Satan will do all that he can to lull God's people into a spiritual slumber. And I'll come back to that. So that he can keep them from enjoying God's best. Because God wants you to experience his best. He's got good plans for you. Plans of good, not of evil, to give you a what? A hope and a... Yeah, when I do that, you help me preach. If you know it, you shout out the scriptures. I won't probably quote anything from Ezekiel or, Lamentations today. So I know probably a lot of you were reading Lamentations in your private time with God this morning. So that's the reason why he wants God's people in the spiritual slumbers, to keep them from enjoying God's best. But on the other hand, God at the same time will be drawing them to spend more quality time with him and his word so that they can remain strong and win every battle. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to win every battle. There's more to this, but he goes on to say, stay overwhelmed with gratitude to God for his faithfulness to you and never stop praising him for his goodness. So I think we ought to do that right now. Lord, we just praise you for your goodness. We thank you. You've been so good to us. In Jesus' name. And so we're going to open today in Psalm chapter 27. If you have your Bibles, Psalm chapter 27. And David says, verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many living folks are in here today?
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
Praise God you're not living and in the or you would be possibly in the cemetery over, just by the airport. That only living people. You need to explain. Oh, boy. I was telling this heartfelt story that Pastor interrupted me to say a joke about how people couldn't, only people that could be buried.
No one living in this area can be buried in the cemetery.
Yeah, no one living in this area can be buried in this cemetery within 10 miles. Living, no one living. That. Yeah. We call that a dad joke. Yeah. So he goes on to say, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Passion Translation says it like this. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope.
Amen.
Yes, keep waiting, for he will never disappoint you.
Amen.
The difference between Dr. Savelle and many of God's people is that Dr. Savelle has been willing to wait to see the goodness of God. It was 20 years before this international aircraft manifested. And people say, well, why does he need something like that? Brother Copeland calls this an anointing protector.
That's right.
You know, we came over on a plane, commercial plane, where people were watching movies about witchcraft, demonized things, people getting drunk, you know, and people cursing, all kinds of things. That's not a great environment to protect the anointing. And he's done 4.5 million air miles on American Airlines alone,
wow,
not including all the other. So for 20 years, he had believed God for this. You know, some Christians can't stand for 20 minutes to wait for something. Amen? And so I believe that we're living in a day where God is accelerating things and speeding things up, and he has to, because we're in the end times. How many of you know that? We're living in the end times. What does that mean for us? It means that, first of all, God has graced you to live in this day. He's graced you and anointed you to live in this day. That means that you can do this.
Amen.
Let me say that again. That means that you can do this. You know, maybe some of you and were surprised or never thought that you would. I know my mom, who has gone home to be with the Lord, I know she would be beside herself at some of the things that we've experienced since she's gone home to be with the Lord.
Yes.
You know, where people, and I could go down a list of things, but where this evil of the world has filtered in, and more evil, and people, you know, not knowing who they are anymore, I could continue on down that road, but you get what I'm saying. And so some of that has filtered into the church, where this world view, well, what's your world view? Well, I would ask you this: what's your Bible view?
Amen.
Because if you're not lined up with the scriptures, then you can be tossed with every wind of doctrines, and there are doctrines of devils. And that's why it's important to have a good pastor. I said, that's why it's important to have a good pastor that teaches you the scripture, no matter what compromising that people do in the world, and so that you can stand on the scripture to say, I don't have to compromise, because the word says, and I will remind you that it is the eternal word of God. So everything in the word was written for a purpose, and it's for today.
Amen.
There are some that would say that the Bible, you can throw that out because that's not for today. Well, that is a flat out, man, what's a good word? You got to stick with the word, especially in the day that we live in. And so with the pressure of the world to succumb to different world views, I'm going to stick to the word that has the view that God wants me to have.
Amen.
To do what? To live out the life, to experience his best.
Amen.
So it goes on to say, what Dr. Savelle was saying, that Satan would do all he can to try to lull God's people into a state of spiritual slumber. The word slumber, it means to be indifferent. Indifferent is kind of like, nonchalant. Passionless. Passionless, if you define that, it means without any effect. It means you don't have any effect on anything. You're just, you know, que sera, sera.
Yeah.
Whatever will be, will be.
A musical may break out right now. Do you know any Mary Poppins? another word for slumber means unimpressed. And many of God's people in churches all over, it's like you got to entertain them as if the Word of God isn't enough. The Word of God is enough. And if you're, Mark 4 talks about the soil of our heart. If you have a heart to receive the Word of God, it'll change your life forever. 30, 60, 100-fold. That's what the Word will do. That's God's best. 100-fold in your life, you receiving that, that's God's best. Well, it all comes through from you receiving the Word of God. Well, how do you receive the Word of God? Well, one of the ways you receive the Word of God is to receive the man of God that God has sent you in your life, which is your pastor. So Jesus appoints apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What? For the what? Equipping of the saints. So that you can do the work of the ministry. A lot of people have the reverse thought that the pastor is supposed to do all the work of the ministry. No, the pastor is equipping you with the word so that you can do the work of the ministry and you can be effective so that when you come out, come to church, that you receive the word, you receive it with joy, it roots down in your heart so that when you go out there, that you have an effect. It's that's where your light will shine greater and greater the more that you're receiving the word of God and it's taking root in your heart. And James says that if you're a doer of the word, then that's what faith really is that you're receiving the word because you not only hear it, but then you do it. So we always say, so do it. So take your hands like that, say, do it. You know, kind of like a gangster, do it. So David's saying, I would have lost heart. There's a lot of people, now I'm going to talk a little bit about what we've been experiencing. There's been a lot of people that have lost hope in some of the things. A lot of people have been saying, where is God in all this? And David's saying, I would have done that too. I would have lost hope. Had I not what? Believed, I would what? See the goodness of God. So there's a change in perspective of what someone is looking at. So if you're only looking at, let's say, for example, what they're saying on the news, and you're listening to that rather than listening to your pastor, why do I keep talking about that? I don't know. Y'all are good people. I don't think you not listen to your pastor or anything. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of people that CNN or whatever news station, even if you're listening to Fox, it's not always positive. Or if Facebook is your... Have you ever noticed how people, like, pardon the expression, but vomit on Facebook? And then you read that, and then people comment on it, and then everybody's commenting on it, and it's, and then now we're all vomiting on each other. So you have to decide what I'm going to listen to, right? What I'm going to look at, what I'm going to see. So if you're waking up in the morning and you're looking for the goodness of God, guess what you're going to see? You'll begin to see the goodness of God everywhere you go. Amen. Hey, four seasons in one day here, that's, who else sees that? There's always something that we can be thankful for. That's not just the message for Thanksgiving, you know, but there's always something that God is doing in the earth. You know, a lot of times that we just, it's something that we're not looking at or we're not seeing. So there's a lot of people that have, lost hope. But Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But be of what? I have what? Overcome. So if he's overcome, he's living on the inside of you, then guess what that makes you? An overcomer.
Amen.
He says he always causes us to say always. You mean we can win always? Oh, yeah. We can develop a habit of winning. I like to win. I like to win. You know, the day that we live in, it's give everybody a trophy and everybody's a winner. That is not the case. You go apply for a job, there's so many applicants, there's one winner. That's life. And so to me, that's a bad doctrine. But, you know, not that we call people losers, you know, but did you do your best and all that? But if you want to be someone that you don't care about winning or losing, I always say, play on the other team. Jesus won.
Yes. Amen.
Didn't he?
Yes.
And he is on the cross, and people are saying on his left, on his right, hey, if you're the Son of God, call down. He could have quit right there on the cross. But he was a finisher.
Yes.
He said, it is what? Finished. He was a finisher. It's important for God and for you that you finish. Paul said, I have finished my course. We're not there yet. Folks, there's some work to be done here,
amen.
Right?
Yes.
So we're not at the place where we've finished yet,
yes.
And it's important that we finish.
Yes.
When I was a senior in high school, you know, I liked sports, and so my youth pastor said, "Hey, there's a 5K run, and you should enter. You should come run that with me." I said, "Okay," you know, and I thought, I'm gonna go. I'm not only run this. I'm gonna win this race. And so I like basketball. I like baseball. But you know, running was kind of just a part of the sport to keep you in shape so that you could win, right? But this was a completely different deal. So I thought, well, I'm gonna do this. So I get on the front of the line. You know, I've got on. Some of you may know this. Some of you may not. But where's Jordan at? He's back there. Big baggy Air Jordan basketball shorts, and a big baggy shirt. That was in style back then. And on my left and on my left, on my right are runners from Kenya and other nations. They have on the little shorty shorts and the, you know, the small tank top or whatever. Ha, I'm thinking, ha, I don't even need that kind of stuff. So on your mark, get set, you know, bang. And so we're off.
Yeah.
And I'm running as hard as I can. I mean, I'm on a full sprint because I'm trying to keep up with these guys that were on my left and right. And now I'm realizing that as fast as I can run, I cannot keep up with them. Nor can I keep this pace. As we turn the corner, the first quarter mile, I began to realize that I am not going to win this race. And so, they are so far ahead of me. And again, I've been on a full sprint. And I can't keep this pace. And so I begin to slow down to the point where I come to a stop. And I'm so out of breath and so discouraged because I can't believe that I could lose this badly. I sit down on the curb and trying to catch my breath. By that time, the rest of the pack is running around the corner. So the other people that were in my group, you know, my youth pastor and some other, they just ran on by me as I sat there. Kind of, ha, 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 Eric, because they knew that you shouldn't start out like that, you know, on a full sprint and they knew that this was a long race. See, people that had run this race before realized that there was a finish line.
Yeah.
And so finally somebody stopped that was in our group, and they said, they picked me up and they said, come on. I was like, no, I'm done. I'm not going to win. I'm done. They said, no. You don't understand. It's not about winning or losing here. This is about finishing your race. And so this is about crossing the finish line. Well, for us as Christians, we have a hope that this I believe it'll be in our lifetime that the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise, those who are alive and remain will meet him in the air. That is a hope that is fixed in my heart, that I know, that I know, that I know that I will see him. Whether in the sky or whether I go by the grave, that I will see Amen. My Lord Jesus. Amen. And those that have gone on before me, like, for example, my mother, who I believe died prematurely, and that wasn't God's plan for her life. And I'm not going to get into that, but I know that I will see her.
Amen.
And those of you that have relatives that have gone on before us, you can have a secured hope that you will see them. Amen. And so that's our finish. It's the heavenly prize that awaits us. And all the crown that Jesus and all the rewards he said are with me, that's our finish, you know. Until we get into eternity where we, you know, rule and reign with him.
Amen.
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 But all that's based on our short time on earth. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? There's a lot of people that have lost sight of the finish line. But how can you, if you don't know where you're going, then how can you conduct your life daily to where you're going? You know, if I'm going to heaven, then I'm going to live like I'm going there.
Yeah.
There's a kingdom. There's a culture of heaven that we can live on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on
earth
as it
is in heaven.
That tells me that I can live like heaven on earth.
Amen.
What is that called? God's best.
Amen.
What does Satan want to do? Lull us into a slumber so we don't what? Experience God's best. So he calls us to be indifferent, nonchalant, unimpressed. Heard that before. I don't believe that's you in here. I'm just identifying what's been going on in the body of Christ. We've been all over. And we've seen it. And so what's happening right now is God's people have a hunger again. And we're seeing a rising that's coming in the body of Christ. And it hasn't been like this explosion yet, but there is a rising in the body of Christ. And I want to read you something, because this is a charge to you today. It's Isaiah 60, but I want to quote it to you in the Amplified. It says, arise. Now this is a command. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Doesn't that describe the day that we're living in right now with a lot of people?
Amen.
And this is a command. Arise.
Yes.
Arise. The word arise means to get up from sleep or slumber.
Yes. Yes.
From the depression and prostration with circumstance, that can rise to a new life.
Amen.
Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? The glory of the Lord is God's presence, it's his power, and it's his goodness.
Yes, amen.
The glory is his presence, it's his power, and it's his goodness. What did David say? I would have lost heart unless what? I had believed I would what? See the goodness of God in the land. It says, for your light has come. In other words,
The time is now.
Yes.
Church,
thank you, Lord.
I'm here to tell you that now
yes.
is our time.
Amen.
It is our time
yes,
now
Amen.
In the
yes.
earth.
Amen.
The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and dense darkness all the people. Are we seeing this?
Yes.
We are living this scripture right now.
Yes.
But, it says,
yes.
there's always a but.
Yes.
The Lord shall arise upon you,
yes.
and his glory shall be seen on you.
Amen.
What's his glory again? His presence, his power, and his goodness. So people will see the goodness of God in your life.
Amen.
In such a dark, dark world. What did Dr. Savelle say? There would be such a distinct force difference between light
yes.
and darkness. We're seeing this being defined now. So people are now choosing their side, so to speak. Now, Jesus prayed this prayer to Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. Now, if we go back and talk about COVID, now I love dogs. But if COVID had been a dog, I would have shot it. When we go back and talk about it, you know, some people, we had a man at the ministry that went on to be with the Lord. He got the COVID. He had some underlying conditions in his lungs. And then he went on to be with the Lord. It was just like that. He was gone. So we don't take that, you know, lightly of people that have gone on that we know and family, friends, relatives, that was a real thing. Outside of that, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
That was the real thing. Outside of that, there was a lot of fear.
Yes.
There was a lot of distraction.
Yes.
There was a lot of hype.
Yes.
What was that designed to do? It was designed, when you study out the word sift, Satan has desired to sift you. That word literally means, I wrote it down, to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow.
Wow. Yeah.
And so that's what Satan was after. Maybe he didn't kill you or kill someone next to you, but if he could just cause your faith
yeah.
to be inoperable,
yeah.
if he could cause your faith to be indifferent, nonchalant,
yeah.
are you with
yeah.
me? Then he could cause you not to experience God's best,
yeah.
and then a loss of hope can set in.
Yeah.
Do you see this?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of distraction around this to get God's people out off of focus on what God was trying to do in the earth, because God was still showing his goodness to his people.
Yeah.
In fact, during 2020, we had moved from northern United States in 2019. To Texas, and we still had two homes up there. One was a rental home. One was our normal home on the lake. And we left those unsold as they were, took the furniture, and just taking the next step. Well, 2020 rolled around. COVID, the world shuts down in a matter of days.
Yeah.
If you studied any end times, this is just a side note. If you studied any end times things, you can see how the rule of the Antichrist could happen within days. Now, we're not going to be here for that. We'll be gone.
Amen.
I said, we're not going to be here
Amen.
For that. But during the 2020, so the Lord says, put your rental house up for sale first. It's April. So we put it up for sale. We listed it for $125,000. It was a four-bedroom. $125,000. And, we got an offer the first day for $120,000. Well, no, we listed it for $130,000. We got an offer for $125,000 the first day. I thought that was great. Is that my time I'm done?
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, the next day, someone offered us $11,000 over the asking price. And we didn't owe anything on that house. So we minus the realtor fees, and all that came to us. 2 months later, we sold our lake home. And so we sold both of those homes within 2 months. The Lord had directed me to this road, and I thought it was for this piece of land that was for sale. Well, I went back and forth with this guy, and he was so unreasonable about the price, and I just couldn't break through. And that's the land that I thought, when the Lord took me down that road, all he told me was go down this county road. County Road 1016 is what it is. And so this land was for sale. I thought, well, that's our land. But he never told me that was my land. He just told me to go down the road. So I kept going down that road and kept going down that road. So I would go back and forth with this guy for a couple months. And he just would not. He was so unreasonable. Well, that's not favor. You know, I just didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. And so I just said, okay, well. Well, one day I went down the road as it was. I just kept going down that road. You know, every so often I'd drive down the road. There was a house for sale. And I thought, huh. And it sat way up on the hill. And it was gated, so you couldn't get in there. So I couldn't get in to see it. And so I thought, wow. So we went to see it. Well, the price that they had put on that was out of our comfort zone. I'll just say that. Okay. And so we went to see it, needed a lot of work, and we just left it there. That house sat for 6 months. By that time, we had sold both homes. We had had a huge month in our side business, and we went back to those people and said, you haven't had any offers. We'll make you an offer. You know, if you don't want to take it, that's fine. For $130,000 less than the asking price. So we sold two homes and bought a home for $130,000 below the asking price. That is the goodness of God. In other words, for goodness is favor. You'll hear Dr. Spell talk a lot about favor. Well, that's the goodness. Goodness, favor are intermixed. Well, what I was doing was only looking at what was coming in through the business, and our business kind of took a hit that year because everything shut down. But when he said to me, you know, you've been telling people you lost money this year, but add up what you made on those two homes and the discount you got on this other home, and what's that equal? What kind of year did you have? I said, oh, we had our best year ever. Yes. But it was my perspective of what I was looking at. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's huge that we have a faith outlook in what God's doing, because he's always doing something. So Jesus is praying this over Peter, Satan's desire to sift you. He wants to overthrow your faith. If he can't kill you, but he can stop you, because everything that we receive in this world is by what? Faith. Faith pursues. Faith takes ground. Amen. Faith is aggressive. Amen. Faith is not nonchalant. Yes. And a lot of God's people have stopped taking ground, have stopped pursuing things that God has put in their heart. Yes. Let me come over here. Yes. Stop pursuing things that God has put in their heart. Amen. That he wants to come to pass in your life.
Amen.
But we have to activate our faith again.
Yes.
And so this arising is people going, hey, I don't have to sit back and let Satan steal from me. You say, well, what about the government? What about this? What about that? Hey, God is still on the throne. God can overthrow governments, remove kings. It doesn't matter. God can bless his people no matter what. We are not limited by man. What can man do to you?
Amen.
We have pastors that got arrested in the U.S. because they wouldn't close their church. They spoke out. We're not going to close. They were arrested. And now trials have come, and they've been exonerated, not guilty.
Amen.
You know, In this world, you experience tribulation, but the Hebrew children went in the fire, but they didn't come out smelling like fire.
Amen.
See, a lot of people go, oh, I don't want to face the fire. But guess what? You're in a battle whether you like it or not. It's a fight. Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of what? Faith. That means you keep believing, you keep pressing, you keep pursuing. We're not letting go of these things. So if I don't see them, if I haven't seen them yet, what does David tell me to do? Wait. Wait on the Lord. And he says, wait, I say. Wait till God shows up in your circumstance and intervenes in your life. Let me give you another word. Let me put on my own glasses. Actually, I would like to switch glasses. Dr. Savelle, a word back in May from the Lord. It says, you're about to enter into a realm of supernatural favor. And because of it, I will turn what your adversary meant for bad into something good.
Amen.
Supernatural intervention is headed your way,
amen.
And I'm going to make some things happen for you that you aren't capable of making happen on your own.
Amen.
I'll say it again. New doors are about to open for you that will bring about new opportunities for you to prosper.
Yes.
Divine appointments are being arranged for you,
amen,
that are designed to assist you into going to a higher level,
amen,
where your quality of life is concerned.
Yes.
Listen to this. Yes, your set time has come. He goes on to say, so rejoice in the Lord your God and forever praise his name. I think we ought to do that right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for our set time. It's our time on the earth right now. Say, it's my time. It's my time. It's my time. It's your time on the earth where light and darkness are being contrast, and light always overcomes darkness.
Amen.
And the darkness could not comprehend it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you want some more?
Yes.
So, set time. So, there's a scripture where there was a set time for God's people in Exodus chapter 8. Go there with me real quick. Are we okay to read this? Exodus chapter 8, verse 22 says, and in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land.
Amen.
Now, this was a time where God intervened.
Yeah.
This was a time where God said, enough is enough. Just like he said when Jesus was in the grave 3 days, enough is enough. He's fulfilled all the promises. Everything that needed to be fulfilled. Rise, my son. The Israelites had experienced some of these things, but God had heard their cry. He had heard their cry. And so it says, you don't have to turn there, but he says, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. Now, if you study Egypt out in parallels, a lot of times Egypt can be representative of the world that we live in. So if we say, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in the world.
Yes.
We're in the world, but we're not what? Of the world. And have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. He knows what you've been through. He knows. Say amen to that.
Amen.
The next verse says, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. In other words, what he was saying was, I have a plan. I know what you've been through, and I have a plan for you to intervene. And so when he comes to this chapter 8, there were several plagues that had already happened. But God said, now I'm going to set my people apart. Verse 23 says this, I will make a difference between my people and your people.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Tomorrow this sign shall be.
Amen.
Chapter 9, verse 3. Behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle, on your horses, on your donkeys, on your camels, on the oxen, on the sheep. You say, well, I don't have any cattle. How many of you have a washer? Washer and dryer. I had somebody. No, nobody washes their clothes here? Praise the Lord. I had someone say, I heard someone say this week, in our 30, they said something like, was it you? I don't know. So in our 30 some odd years of marriage, they've had two washers. If you think about this verse in terms of that he will bless everything that, you know, is in. I have a car. I'm not going to tell you the name brand of it because you go, oh, well, yeah, that's because it's that car. So that car is well. No, I have a car that's a 2007. I took it and I gave it to an elderly widow who I take care of, which the Bible says is true religion. So I got religion. And so, because it wouldn't start. And so they said, oh, you need a battery. Oh, that's good news, actually, that you only need a battery. Yeah. You know, it could have been the alternator. It could have been all this kind of stuff. Because it's an 07, so it's 15 years old. And it has 320,000 miles on it.
Wow.
So I took it in, and they said, you need a battery. I was like, oh, really? I was like, I was thinking I replaced the battery. No, he goes, the battery that you have in this car is the original battery. To me, that's the hand of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't believe for that, it won't happen for you. So don't worry about it. But like I would place my hands on, because we would travel a lot in the car. I would place my hand, Lord, I thank you. This car is blessed.
Yeah.
You know, you can the blessing is on you and in you, and you can pronounce blessing on whatever you want. And if you can believe for it, it can happen. Amen. And so I would bless, oh, Lord, thank you that our car is blessed, our house is blessed. I go sit out on the front porch of our new home. It's elevated, so you can see for miles. And we have these water towers, you know what I mean, like water reservoirs. And they stand real tall, and I can see like five water towers from our house. I just go out there, and I just thank the Lord for his goodness. But I say, Lord, I thank you, bless this land. This land is blessed. Well, we don't particularly like snakes.
Amen.
So I prayed that God would send me a hawk that would come in and eat the snakes. And one showed up one day, and I saw a nest in the tree, and I mean, they're these, their wingspan is just like magnificent. Well, one day I was sitting on the porch, and I saw the hawk on the ground with its wings spread out about to grab something on the ground. I mean, this was amazing to me. Watch all this. But my point is that the blessing is on you and in you.
Amen.
And to me, that's what this scripture is saying, that the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle.
Yes.
Let's say it in our language today, on your cars, on your house, on your clothes,
yes,
on your washer and dryer, on your coffee maker.
Amen.
On your 80-inch screen TV. The blessing, it's everywhere, all around us, in us. And the Lord, verse 4, will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So when other people's stuff's breaking down, they're having to replace stuff, no, your stuff sustains. Why? Because God's making a difference between his people and the people of the world. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of God. Verse 5, then the Lord appointed a set time.
Amen.
So through this word of the Lord, through Dr. Savelle, he is saying, your set time has come.
Yeah,
Two people received that right now. He's saying your set time has come. It's our time, folks. It's our time in the earth. It is our time to shine in the earth. It's our time. It's our time. There is nothing that Satan can do about it. It is our time. One last scripture. Can you handle one last scripture? Psalm chapter 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. The King James says, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion. Zion could be the church. We were like those who dreamed. So we could say it like this. When the Lord turned the captivity of the church, we were like those who dreamed. When you study out that word turned, it means several words. And they actually, a lot of them begin with the letter R. But it means, one of the words that it means is restore.
Yes. Yes.
So if you put that in, when the Lord restored back.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
To the church.
Thank you, Lord.
Or you could say to God's people. Other words would be requite. I mean, I've got a whole list. But restore, I want to talk about that for a minute. There were things that were lost during this time. There were things that were lost. If it's our set time, and then there's a turning of captivity. There's a turning of people repenting and getting hungry.
Amen.
There's a turning that's happening.
Yes, amen.
And so when the Lord does that, and you begin to, because you've got your faith on this, you begin to experience the goodness of God. Well, what happens is that's what we call a testimony.
Yes.
We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our. And so the testimony is a declaration of the goodness of God that you've experienced.
Amen.
And so you begin to share these things. Well, there's a connection between you speaking it out of your mouth and you experiencing. You speaking it, you're experiencing. You're experiencing, you're speaking it. It's on your lips, it's in your mouth. So we can wake up every day and say, Lord, what goodness are you going to show me today?
Amen.
What goodness am I going to experience today? What is that? An expectation of the goodness of God in the land of the living. Even though it may seem like everything around us is chaotic and literally going to hell. But we can experience the goodness of God in the middle of everything. So it goes on to say, then our mouths were filled with laughter.
Yes.
Ha, 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 ha. Brother Jerry always says this, don't let it steal your joy. Don't let it steal your joy.
Amen.
If Satan can't steal your joy,
yes.
Then he can't keep your goods.
Amen.
He can't keep back your favor.
Amen.
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 Don't let it steal your joy.
Amen.
Why? Because you've got your eyes on the finish line.
Amen.
It's not about... It's not about tomorrow or the next day. It's about the finish line. The nastiest person in the world, if you get the devil off of them and get God in them, it's a completely different person. So it's not the people that are our problem. It's we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this world. So if we can get God into people and Satan off of them. What do? We change their finish line.
Yes. Amen.
We change their eternal destiny.
Amen.
That's amazing to me. So it says that God turned their captivity. He turned. Or you could say restored. When God restores, It's never back to its original place. He always adds to it. Let me give you three examples. Job. What did he restore to Job? Double. Double is the minimum standard of what God will restore. Double. When Lot was captured by the king, you know this. And Abram went to rescue Lot. It says that Abram got all of Lot's stuff and all the king's stuff.
Amen.
So something was stolen. He got that stuff back, and God added the rest to it.
Amen.
It said that David, when he got back from Ziklag, the battle, and they had taken the wives, children, everything, it said that, Lord, shall I pursue? In other words, he didn't just sit around. Shall I pursue? The Lord said, pursue and you'll recover all.
Yeah.
That word recover is the same Hebrew word that of turn the captivity of.
Wow.
Same one. And what David did is went in there and he plundered them.
Yes, amen.
And it said that he recovered all the wives, all the children, all their stuff, and all the stuff from the enemy.
Amen.
And it said, these were David's spoils.
Yes.
Same word that was used as in Psalm 126. So those three examples were the same word, Hebrew word, turned the captivity of from Psalm 126. So when we talk about the restoration of God,
Yes. Woo!
We're not just talking about getting our stuff back. We're talking about, hey, you know, I'm going to add a little interest to this, to what the devil's stolen. Catch a thief.
Amen.
And you make him pay seven times.
Amen.
Double's the minimum.
Yeah.
But sometimes seven times is appropriate.
Yes. Amen.
And that's our God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Say, that's my God. Church, it is our time.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It is our time. Spirit to spirit, arise. Arise. Arise and shine. For your light has come. In other words, it's your time. Will you stand with me? There's a just one quick thing here. There, when you talk about light in Bible times, they didn't have what we have, right? So you know what their light was? It was oftentimes when the Bible talks about light, it was a fire went through, you know, something that's handheld or something that was built, a fire. And so when we talk about arise and shine, for your light has come, that's the fire of God that burns on the inside of us. Now, there are some fires that are bigger than others, right? There are some fires that have gone out and there's a smolder left. You know what you have to do to get that fire going again? If a fire is smoldering, what do you have to do to get it going again? You breathe on it. You fan it. God wants to breathe on you today. I really sensed in my heart as I was participating in worship today that I just saw this being I just sensed a spirit of revival in this place. You know, revive is something that you take something that's dead and bring it to life. But there's also times where maybe it's not completely dead, but it's there's a glimmer of smoke there, and you got to breathe on it.
Amen.
The disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us as he preached the Holy Scripture to us? I believe that the word today has lit you on fire. And there are ways to, you know, keep ourselves stirred up so that the fire doesn't go out again, so that we can keep burning brighter and brighter and brighter. And you know, when you get to a place where it's a bonfire, hey, sometimes those get out of control, don't they? Hey, little sparks start flying everywhere and they get on everything. Because the scripture says that our God is an all-consuming fire. And that's how, church, that's how we become a glorious church. They said, well, Jesus is coming back for what? A glorious church. What's a glorious church? A church that is full of His glory. What's His glory? His power, His presence, His goodness. How do we get there? It's the fire of God that consumes the things in us that don't need to be there. And it just wipes it out and fills it. See, a lot of times people want to try to take care of those things on their own without filling it. But God is going to drive things out with His fire. All of us are at a place where our fire can burn brighter. And you're going to see, as we approach Jesus' return, you're going to see people begin to, as your fire gets brighter and brighter, people, as you walk in the room, will stare at you. What do they see? They see God's presence on you. There's something different about you. They can see it on your countenance. Read Isaiah 60. It says it'll be seen on your countenance. We've already been experiencing this. And they don't know what to think. And then that's when you could say, it's the presence of God that's on me. It's His light within me. So I want to pray for, Pastor, I think you have a part in this today. And how instruct us how you want us to do this. And
hallelujah. Well, first of all, I'd just like to give Pastor Eric the opportunity just to pray for us as a people. I want us to be able to receive that admonition, that stirring, that cry to that the fire of God once again be revived and refreshed in us. Not just as individuals, but as a people, as a church. I want you to pray over us. Hallelujah. Then I want us to give an opportunity to Caleb and the worship lead band just to lead us. And while we're doing that, if you would like to come down here and have Pastor Eric pray for you, I want to give you opportunity for that so that he can minister to you. Hallelujah. But first of all, let's pray for fire. And I'm speaking now. You might be online or someone here. Maybe you don't even, you've been watching as an outsider. I talked about it during the offering, you know, the you feel like a foreigner. Well, I want to declare there is a place for you in God's house, not as an outsider, but to become a part of this prayer. Not just to watch and say, oh, God is praying for the church, for you to become part of His church. And I want you to use this opportunity to say, Lord, I put up my hand. I want to be a part of what you are doing in the church. I want to become part of your church. I want to become your child. I want to let go of my own life, and I want to embrace you, and I want you to cleanse me, forgive me of my sin, and make me whole. I want to give you the opportunity when Pastor Eric is praying for us to say, I put up my hand, Lord, make me part of your church. Embrace this prayer. So I'm going to ask him to him to pray over us. Let the anointing that's on him stir us. Let the word of God flow prophetically. And then I'll give you opportunity individually if you'd like to come out for prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor.
Father, we just loose your anointing right now on this place. Pray in the Spirit if you can pray in the Spirit, if you know how to do that. Lord, first of all, I pray this word about restoration. Lord, I thank you for that word of restoration. And Father, I thank you right now, and we are in agreement that you will restore us in Jesus' name. And we give you praise for restoration right now. We give you praise for restoration. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, and may your fire right now fall on every, your Holy Spirit fire. Fall on every one of us. In Jesus' name. And just receive that right now. Just receive that right now. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.